You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_data. So, I mean, look, I did an episode last night on David Bakhtiari. If you're here to find out what I said, go back. I'm not going to just do that all over again. But man, 2020 went out with a bang, huh? I'm not celebrating that it's over, because for all I know, 2021 is going to be worse. So I'm just going to sit here and keep going on about my life, and we'll see how things go. So far this morning, I saw about a car crash. Apparently there's a super coronavirus that's spreading. Pretty sure we all still hate each other. I don't know. Let me know if all those things have changed. But yeah, I was real excited. I thought I was going to break my personal record for biggest podcast download day of all time. We were at 4,300 before the David Bakhtiari news broke. My goal before the season was over was a 5,000 download day. So I said, well, this is going to happen real early. I didn't expect it to hit already. Because if you have 4,300 and then I drop an episode and then JJ drops an episode, we're going to crush 5,000. Unfortunately, my hosting company said, you know what? We're taking the rest of the day off. Whatever extra downloads you get, we'll just dump it over until tomorrow. So this morning is looking real good. But that annoyed me. Maybe it's all in an effort to make 2021 better. Like, let's not make 2020 look better than it is, even though I would have hit my goal and you guys ruined it. But whatever. It's fine. I don't care. Anyways, speaking of, again, that is a goal of mine. So if you wouldn't mind sharing it around, let your friends and family know and all that good stuff. If you're waking up this morning and feeling ultra generous, there are ways to help support the podcast, Patreon, etc., etc. Links are in the description. Make sure you get in the newsletter, blah, blah, blah. All right. I guess I'm struggling to know where to start. Because, again, I don't want to recap, but I don't know what else to talk about other than David Bakhtiari, because that changes everything. No, it doesn't. That's a lie. That's stupid. It doesn't change everything. It doesn't change us having the best quarterback, the best, you know, running back group, best wide receiver, still a solid offensive line, hopefully a new and improved defensive line just as this defense hits its stride. You know, we're talking Za'Darius, Rashawn, Preston, Kenny, and Snacks Harrison, with Jair and Savage and Amos, three of the top-rated DBs in the NFL right now. So, no, David Bakhtiari doesn't change everything. It sucks a lot, but it doesn't change everything. And furthermore, and this was more or less my contention as well, but Coach Hahn was jumping in our group Discord chat saying, more or less, as long as Wagner is healthy, we still have a very good offensive line. Billy Turner is going to kill it at left tackle. Rick Wagner is more than adequate at right tackle. And then obviously Elgton Jenkins and Lindsley and Patrick can do a good enough job. You know, Patrick isn't the greatest, but that's still, I mean, and again, this is largely, I guess I don't know. I mean, everybody has a right to be upset about Bakhtiari, but anybody saying we're doomed or we're done, again, has no concept or context of what's going on around the NFL. People just, again, talk about living in a bubble. Have you seen the Vikings offensive line or the Bears offensive line or the Seahawks offensive line or the Texans offensive line? Well, the Texans aren't good. Yeah, they went to the playoffs like 3 years in a row, and they have a garbage offensive line. The Giants, the Jets, the Chargers. How about the Titans? Remember they can't pass block? They're going to the playoffs. Bucks offensive line isn't that great. Saints offensive line has some problems. Colts offensive line is struggling. Nobody, I mean... Outside of the Cleveland Browns, nobody had what the Packers had. And yeah, this is going to knock us down a peg. We're going to have to find a way to win a Super Bowl without having the number one offensive line in football. You think it can be done? I don't know. We'll have to go back in history and see if that's ever happened in NFL history. I'm not trying to make light of it, but some people are getting a little carried away. Listen, one of the hallmarks of winning a Super Bowl is being a team that can overcome adversity. We did it in 2010. Maybe not the best parallel in the world, but you might remember that the reason Bulaga really got his start was because Mark Tauscher went out. Not the greatest comparison because that happened in week 5. Also, Tauscher is not Bakhtiari. And Turner's not Bulaga, but still, it's a thing that happened. You know, there might not be somebody that went out right at that time, but, you know, we lost Papinga for the season. We lost Mike Neal for the season. We lost Brad Jones for the season. We lost Ryan Grant for the season. Jermichael Finley for the season. Morgan Burnett for the season. Nick Barnett for the season. That's a lot. How many guys that are that critical have we lost for the season? How many Nick Barnetts did we lose this year? How many Jermichael Finleys? Who, by the way, in 2010 was the third highest graded receiving tight end in football. Not overall, but receiving he was. He's out for the year. You know, Brady Papinga maybe wasn't the greatest edge rusher of all time, but you know, you're looking at a team that had Clay Matthews and not a huge amount of talent outside of that, and we lose Mike Neal and Brady Papinga. So we're rolling with Frank Zombo all year. No offense to Frankie or anything, but it's rough. The fact of the matter is that team had some serious holes. They had a great offensive line with the exception, maybe, of their tackles. Josh Sitton and Scott Wells were freaks. Brian Bulaga was the weak link, the guy that had to come in and fill in. Obviously, he got a lot better, but he was a rookie. They didn't have a Devontae Adams on that team. They had Jordy and they had Jennings, and that's great, but Driver had clearly fallen off at this point. James Jones wasn't doing anything at this point. Jordy's first breakout year really was 2011. Greg Jennings was fine. He had a 75 overall grade, which is pretty much par for the course for him. But again, we're not talking about Devontae here. Tight end, again, Finley's done. That leaves us with what? Andrew Corliss, Tom Crabtree, and Donald Lee. I'm not going to trash talk any of these guys. Corliss played for a long time and was a contributor. Tom Crabtree is a Packer legend. Donald Lee played too. None of these guys I would take over, probably even Mercedes Lewis, if I'm being completely honest. Aaron Rodgers is a freak, which, I mean, to be completely honest, how does a team like this, how did the 2010 team win? It's not because they were perfect. They got hot at the end of the year. They had a white-hot quarterback and a defense that really, really stiffened at the end of the year. They were a good defense all year, basically, but they got real good come playoff time. I mean, we're kind of in that same vein. I'm not saying we're guaranteed to win anything. We never were. We weren't with Bakhtiari, and we're not without him. But our quarterback is better than he was in 2010. Our wide receiver situation is, I would say, better than it was. We don't have maybe the same duo, but Devontae is heads and tails above Jordy and Jennings in 2010. Heads and tails, and it's not even close. We're talking about an all-time historic season by any wide receiver ever. We're talking about raw stats are going to break records, not even including a per-game average, because he missed some time. I'm just talking about just the numbers straight up. The running backs, I mean, look, James Starks had his coming out party, but he had a 68 overall grade. He was fine. But the biggest thing about Starks that was shocking is he was able to actually get yards. He came out and could actually get a couple yards here, and then I was like, whoa, we got a running back. Imagine that, because we just didn't have any. It was that and what, Brandon Jackson? Come on, man. That doesn't hold a candle to our third. I would take our third best running back over James Starks. Maybe Jamal and Starks are kind of on a similar tier. I mean, he had 110 carries for 416 yards, 3.8 yards per carry average in 2010. 3.8. Again, I know we deify things in our mind, right? We kind of put a veneer, especially on great seasons. We won a Super Bowl in 2010, so everything in our memory is magical. We remember James Starks being this nobody that steps out onto the field and all of a sudden just runs wild, and it's like, what the heck was that? He had 11 carries over 10 yards. That was something you didn't see in Green Bay very often. And he only had 110 carries, so once every 10 times he touches the ball, he runs for 10 yards or more. That's pretty good. His longest carry was 27 yards. So, I mean, it was a spark for the team, no question. But again, I would take A.J. Dillon, I would take Aaron Jones, I would take Jamal over James Starks. The defense probably was a little bit comparable, but again, that's a good thing in terms of who would you rather have. We don't have a Desmond Bishop on this team. Desmond Bishop was a very good linebacker that year. Had some real good DBs when you look at Tremont, Shields, and Woodson, kind of like Amos, Savage, and Jair. Again, they really only had one edge guy, but Clay Matthews was probably better off the edge than just about anybody we have right now. 17 sacks, 74 pressures on 556 attempts. I'm probably good with our trio over just having one guy, but again, it's debatable. The defensive line with Cullen Jenkins and B.J. Raji, that ain't bad. 8 sacks apiece. I mean, we got a nose tackle, B.J. Raji, getting 8 sacks. That's crazy. On top of Cullen getting his own 8. So again, I mean, it's still, to this day, comparable. Again, the formula here is white-hot quarterback and a defense that's really, really starting to heat up. This is horrible news, but let's not catastrophize this. Why can't the Packers score touchdowns without David Bakhtiari? Because what, Billy Turner can't block? He's been on the offensive line all year. So has Rick Wagner. How many sacks have these guys given up? Well, Billy Turner's given up 2. Rick Wagner's given up 1. Rick Wagner has been at right tackle 540 times. 1 sack in 540 snaps at right tackle. 324 as a pass blocker. Now, maybe Rick Wagner doesn't play. That's possible. Elgton Jenkins has given up 1 sack. 1. And he's played tackle already this year. Not an extended period of time, but we're talking 60 snaps. If you want to be concerned about Lucas Patrick, the guy that was probably going to be playing anyways. Again, depending on Rick Wagner. But, you know, I'm talking in circles, but again, go look at some of the other offensive lines. Lucas Patrick has given up the most sacks on this team. He gave up 3. Go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Donovan Smith, their tackle, has given up 6 sacks. Ryan Jensen, their center, has given up 4 sacks. Go to the Titans. Ty Sombreo and Roger Saffold have given up 4 apiece. The Saints, Andres Pete. Guy's getting super old and not very good at football. 4 sacks. Absolutely a weak link over there. Austin Blythe, center for the Los Angeles Rams. 4 sacks. By the way, even the ones I'm skipping, they've given up 3. They've got guys that, like the Chiefs and everybody else that I'm not talking, they've got guys that have given up 3. I'm just looking for guys that have given up more than our guys. Like Chaz Green, the tackle over at Indy, 4 sacks. The Cleveland Browns, who have a great offensive line. Jedrick Wills, 4 sacks. The Bears, Charles Leno, has given up 5 sacks this season. Buffalo Bills' Deion Dawkins has given up 5 sacks. The Baltimore Ravens guard, Tyree Phillips, 6 sacks on the season. So, you know, yeah, we got guys, and guys are going to lose battles. And, you know, we don't have the guy that just doesn't give up sacks ever. Our left tackle that gave up 1 on the entire season is gone. And now we got guys that are going to give up. And you know, it's not just sacks, it's pressures. And that is somewhat problematic. Rodgers is going to be under pressure more. That's a reality. I mean, just being completely honest about it, I mean, Billy Turner compared to David Bakhtiari is kind of a joke. David Bakhtiari's given up 9 pressures all season. Billy Turner's given up 22. He's given up more than anybody else on this offensive line. There's going to be more pressures. It's not a question. But we'll make it work. We have a great quarterback. We still have a solid offensive line. We've got great running backs. And by the way, you also have to look at other teams and the guys that they're bringing pressure with. Most teams just got their one guy. The Bears have Khalil Mack. That's basically it. I mean, Akeem Hicks is fine, but I mean, he's got 4 sacks and he's at about 10%. That's an average defensive tackle. He's average. I've been saying this for you. He had that one good year and everybody's riding high on Akeem Hicks. Every time he comes around, like, dude, that guy's a freak. No, man, he had that one real good year. I mean, he's a good football player, but he's not a freak. Bilal Nichols, 10%. Robert Quinn off the edge, 10%, little less than 10%, and 2 sacks. That's garbage. Barcavius Mingo, little less than 10%. It's Khalil Mack, and that's it. And Khalil Mack's real good. He was real good last time we played him, too. He just is. It does. Even if we have Bakhtiari, Khalil Mack is still there, and he's still scary. That's a reality. But it's not as though, you know, it's just there's... Billy Turner doesn't just lose by virtue of being there. Somebody has to actually beat him, and that doesn't happen very often. 22 times over the course of the season, we're talking, what, once or twice a game? Again, same with Tampa Bay. They got Shaquille Barrett and what? I mean, on the exterior, at least, there's not much. There's still William Golston. Golston's solid. Vita Vea's having a great year, but he's done, I think, for the year. So off the edge, as far as the tackles are concerned, it's Shaquille Barrett and nobody. Tennessee, we learned firsthand, doesn't have anybody off the edge. The Saints are the one team that I'm pretty worried about, but I've been worried about the Saints since forever anyway. Everybody on their team is over 10%. I talked about that. Marcus Davenport, David Onyemata, Trey Hendrickson, Cam Jordan, all of them. Over 10% and a handful of sacks. David Onyemata, 44 pressures on 372 attempts, 7 sacks. Trey Hendrickson, 48 on 353 and 13 sacks. Cam Jordan, 54 on 497, 8 sacks. It's a scary unit, but they're scary anyways. We knew they were scary. Great front. One of the better linebackers in football, and DeMario Davis, guy's 900 years old. He's killing it. It's a good football team. So what? Point is, everybody that was scary is still scary. Everybody that has pass rushers had pass rushers when we had David Bakhtiari. But it's not as though we have Jason Spriggs. Remember that when we had lost a guy and Spriggs went out there and it was like every third snap, Rodgers was getting sacked? That's not what we're dealing with. We're putting guys out there that have already played this year. Some are better than others, but it's still a quality offensive line. To be completely honest with you, I think I'm a little bit more concerned with the devolving of the run game more so than the pressures on Aaron Rodgers. I understand if they can bring a ton of pressure, that'll just completely ruin the Green Bay Packers' chances. I get that. But I think they'll be able to hold up well enough. Again, my bigger concern is how well-oiled this run game had become. Does that start to devolve a bit as we reshuffle this offensive line? Because that's an absolute killer for the other team. If we can run the ball, first of all, that's going to kill their pass rush. You want to send everybody? You want to start coming deep into our backfield while we start running the ball? We're going to crush you. So all is absolutely not lost. Winning a Super Bowl is largely about overcoming adversity because nobody gets through the season unscathed. Nobody. Everybody's got serious injuries. Packers have been unbelievably healthy the last 2 years. I mean, really, who do we not have right now? The biggest person outside of our left tackle on IR is who? Tyler Irvin? So, you know, it is what it is. I said I wasn't going to redo the whole episode, but apparently I did. But again, as I said in the last episode, this is also an opportunity for the team to rally around David Bakhtiari and honor what he's done this season by putting in 100%. It's all go time now. There's no more taking days off. There's no more sleeping. 100% effort from here on out. Anyways, why don't we take a break right here, and we'll come back and kind of start looking forward, if we possibly can, at this Chicago Bears matchup.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Why don't we start off, since it's the topic of the day, looking at the injury report, because it's, you know, it's more than just one guy that got hurt. Right now, a bunch of people on the injury report as per usual. The one guy that is worth talking about, thinking about, whatever, is Simon Stepniak, only because he's been out all year and he's finally back. I doubt he's going to have a big role, but you never know. We have a lot of questions at that position. I know everybody really likes John Runyon, for good reason. He's a physical type of guy, but I don't think we've solidified him as the ultimate answer. I don't think Patrick is the answer. I think these are guys that are adequate, but I still think there's plenty of room for finding a guy that's actually quite good. Again, it's unlikely that that's going to be Stepniak, but it's, you know, you never know. Guys that did not practice, Mercedes Lewis, that's generally expected. I don't see a lot of reason to be super overly excited right now. Usually about once a week or so, they let him, you know, just take the day off for age reasons. Kingsley Keke has a concussion. Don't think he'll be playing. Otherwise, nothing that seems too catastrophic. We got a bunch of limiteds. Kevin King was limited with a groin injury. Alan Lazard limited with a core injury. Will Redmond, concussion. He was limited. I'm assuming if that was a little bit more serious, he would not be limited. He just wouldn't be allowed out on the field. Zadarius, ankle-thumb injury, limited. Equanimeous, limited with a knee. Jace, limited with a concussion. Wagner, worth noting that he's trending in the right direction. I mentioned yesterday that the injury was less serious than they thought. He did not practice on Wednesday. He practiced in limited fashion on Thursday. Another thing I mentioned is if this injury had not happened, there's a decent chance they let him rest. It's possible now they may sort of rush him back. In other words, if you can go, you're going to go. So we'll have to monitor that, I suppose. Jamal Williams was back in full, which again is great. You know, I mean, if we need a little bit of extra help with running backs coming in to help block, Jamal's going to be a great option there. That's about it for that. On the Bears sideline, they've got quite a few interesting little things here that maybe you haven't heard because we've been focused on our own issues. They've got four guys that did not practice. Deion Bush has not practiced all week. He has a foot injury. Jalen Johnson has not practiced all week with a shoulder injury. Buster Skrine has not practiced all week with a concussion. Allen Robinson did practice Wednesday, did not practice, has a hamstring injury. I'll say this, if Allen Robinson doesn't play, the Bears really don't have a chance. Flat out. I've mentioned before that Mitch Trubisky has not really had a massive resurgence. It's been the pieces around him, primarily Allen Robinson, who's currently grading out as the number three wide receiver in football. They've also got David Montgomery, but again, I think the Packers' game plan, and especially a reason why they're rushing snacks through this process, and of course they have to evaluate and make sure that he can and is capable of understanding what is being asked of him and can go out and play. But I think the game plan for the Chicago Bears is stop the run, force Trubisky to throw. If that's still the game plan and they don't have Allen Robinson, they're done. They're beyond done. Even with Allen Robinson, it's a tough ask against Jair Alexander. That's tough. I mean, they're not completely inept at wide receiver, but it's not good. Anthony Miller, 110th, he's ranked out of 126. Javon Wims, 120th out of 126. Darnell Mooney, the rookie who was seemingly very promising at one point, 76th out of 126. If all they have is David Montgomery running behind this subpar offensive line against the Green Bay Packers, who basically had that exact same game plan last week, and that was against a much better running back and a much better run-blocking offensive line. The game plan was stop the run, force them to throw. They're going to do that again against the Bears, but the Bears have less talent. They don't have as good of a quarterback, nowhere near as good of a quarterback. They don't have as good of an offensive line. They don't have as good a wide receiver. They don't have as good of a running back. This is like a wannabe Titans team. And again, if they don't have Allen Robinson, I'm sorry. There's no way. The resurgence of the Chicago Bears follows identically with the resurgence of Allen Robinson. And by resurgence, I mean he's been good all year. He's been elite since the bye. Exact same trend as the Bears offense overall. The last 3 weeks, his grades have been 91, 84, 81. He's been maybe the best wide receiver in football the last 3 weeks. If he doesn't play, the Bears are going to get wrecked. They might anyways. I'm just telling you right now, they're going to get absolutely wrecked because Trubisky is not leading this thing. Allen Robinson is playing out of his ever-loving mind. And by the way, Houston doesn't have a lot of great corners. Minnesota, Jacksonville, these aren't exactly Jair Alexander hubs. So, I mean, that's the whole thing, in my opinion. I mean, if Allen Robinson goes, there's a chance this is a good game, right? Especially if they have a good defensive game plan that's able to stifle the Packers' offense, which there shouldn't be, but it is a good defense. That's how they win this game. A balanced run-pass attack with Allen Robinson really dragging this team. They continue to run the ball well, and they draw up a good enough defensive game plan to slow down the Packers. All of those things have to happen for them to have a chance of beating the Packers. Without Allen Robinson, they cannot win. I'm just declaring that right now. Other than a complete Green Bay Packers implosion, there's no way. I refuse to believe it. I mean, just from a straight-up yardage standpoint in the last 3 weeks, 123 yards and a touchdown, 83 yards and 103 yards. He's getting 100 yards a game. Darnell Mooney's got a couple touchdowns. He hasn't cracked 50 yards in the last 3 weeks. In fact, he's only cracked 50 yards twice the whole season. Anthony Miller isn't doing jack. He hasn't cracked 20 yards in the last 3 weeks. Jimmy Graham is getting a handful of touchdowns. He's got three the last 3 weeks. I suppose that would be an additional resurgence if we really want to believe that. Again, I tend to think that it has a lot to do with the fact that you have to key in on one of the premier wide receivers in football, as well as a team that's really doing a great job of running the ball right now. That's giving Jimmy Graham some real good opportunities, and they're taking advantage of that. There's not a lot of targets, not a lot of receptions, not a lot of yards, but again, three touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. He had 69 yards and two touchdowns against Jacksonville last week. It's Jacksonville, but I mean, I guess that's their number one option right now outside of Allen Robinson. Cole Kmet, the rookie, is not doing anything. Javon Wims has one target, no receptions the last 3 weeks. I mean, that's it. That's the whole group. Otherwise, people are pretty hyped up about David Montgomery for obvious reasons. The yards have been off the charts. 113 yards, 146 yards, and 95 yards the last several weeks. The biggest problem with that is he's been getting a ton of carries. Week 14 against Houston was the big thing. He had 11 carries, 113 yards, 10.3 yard average. That's massive. The next week, he gets 146 yards, which just the number itself is crazy. He had 32 carries in that game. It's a 4.6 yard average, which is fine, but let's not, you know, give literally anybody on this team 32 carries. Going to crack 100 yards, I promise. And then against Jacksonville, 23 carries, 95 yards is a 4.1 yard average. He's got 4.4 on the season. He's a good running back, but again, I really think it's just a team that has, they found a good balance and they're able to make things work, right? They're leaning on very heavily on Allen Robinson. They've got a running back that they run the ball a lot with, and they're making progress with that. But as simplistic as this sounds, the fact of the matter is when things are working, they're working. Right, we have a game plan, and as long as we're able to execute our game plan, we're going to be fine. That's true of everybody. The point is, somebody needs to get in there and throw a wrench in the system and say, guess what, we're not going to let you do that. Can you adapt? The Bears are still a bad offense, ladies and gentlemen. They just found a way to get a balance between Jimmy Graham, their tight end, their running back, and their top-end wide receiver. And these guys are really starting to pick up steam from a talent standpoint. Trubisky isn't. But again, they found this balance and they're able to make it work. But what happens, first of all, again, when Allen Robinson goes out, that the wheels just completely fell off the car. If he doesn't, though, what happens when a guy like Jair goes out there and messes up your plans? What happens when we have a game plan that says we're not going to let you run and Jair's going to jam up your boy over here, and so that leaves you one option, Jimmy Graham? When they're allowed to do what they want to, and this is true of literally everybody, assuming you have a quality game plan, same with the Packers, as long as you're able to execute your plan, it's going to look really nice. And the Bears have run a sort of new plan that's work. It's a great system. It's working. And nobody has been able to kind of jam them up. And again, it's the Jaguars who have a terrible defense. The Texans have a terrible defense. And the Vikings right now have a terrible defense. The Packers are not that. And I'm not going to say that they're a premier defense, although they've kind of been playing like that the last half of the year. But based on what they did to the Titans, they're going to do it again, and it's going to be kind of almost the opposite. We don't prove anything to you. You prove to us that you can beat us. And the Bears, again, I don't think they're legitimately an offense that's going to overcome that. In other words, they'll come out right away and declare, our goal is to stack the box. We're going to stop you from running because you love to run a lot. And we're going to take away your number one wide receiver. And the Packers, you look at it and say, well, why doesn't everybody do that? Because nobody has the talent. Nobody else has Jair, the exception maybe of Miami. Also, you know, we got Amos and Savage roving over the top as well. If we need a little bit of help with Robinson, fine. We got guys to spare because, again, they don't have anybody else. So, you know, I really hate being overly cocky, and I've been pretty worried about a lot of things, but it's real simple. The Packers are getting very, very good. Their offense is looking as good as it has all year. Their defense is, I mean, you put it up against just about any defense in the league based on what they've done recently. And again, I think this Bears offense legitimately is a paper dragon. They have a real good system going. They got a quality running back. They've got a really good wide receiver and a tight end that, you know, if you put him in the right spot, he can still jump up and catch stuff. But I just think the Packers are going to bring a different energy, and I think they're just going to bottle that up and say, no, you're going to have to do better than that. And I don't know that they have a second gear. Again, their offensive line is not good. Their wide receiver, they don't have a secondary receiving option. They don't have a plan B. This is what we do. This is what we've had success with. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. The only other thing they have going for them is that their defense does such a good job stopping the Packers that the offense doesn't have to do that much. Right, if we only have to score 21 points or whatever to win the game, then we can manage that. Maybe. Legitimately, I don't know. A lot of teams have struggled to get to 21 points with better offenses than the Bears. But, again, we got to keep an eye on it. Hopefully the Packers can stay healthy the rest of the week. I still think, again, they've got a more than enough talent to win this game and get the number one seed. We can deal with what comes down the pike after that. Right? We don't have a chance without Bakhtiari. Well, first of all, we do. And second of all, we don't know who we're facing. We don't know what injuries are coming up. For all we know, Drew Brees is going to be done for the season. And I'm not wishing anything on anyone. I'm not trying to jinx anything. I'm just saying, again, we don't know. There's so many variables. Let's take it one week at a time. Right now, I'm looking at the Chicago Bears, and I'm saying, this is clearly advantage Packers, even without David Bakhtiari. Can they draw up a game plan that wins? Yes, but in my mind, if the Packers play 100%, they win this game, period. It doesn't matter. Bears at their best cannot beat the Packers at their best, period. Anyways, that's it. I got to get going. Got lots of work to do. You folks have yourselves a fantastic first day of the year. Hopefully, I don't know, man. Let me know what's going on out there. I'm curious how this year is going to go. Got any good signs, bad signs? I'm only seeing bad stuff so far, but maybe I'm just paranoid. But have a great day, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye-bye.